Welcome to Science Conversations. I'm Casey Verkerka. Are fossils evidence for evolution? Joining me to discuss part two of this topic is Dr. John Ashton. Thank you for joining again, Dr. John.
Hi, you're very welcome.
We had a great discussion last time. I'm looking forward to this program. Dr. John has written a book entitled Evolution Impossible, 12 Reasons Why Evolution Cannot Explain the Origin of Life on Earth. We're discussing chapter 5 in this program, and it's a fascinating topic all about fossils. And my question for you to start off with is, what can we learn from the fossil record about the diversity of life in the past?
Right, okay. So there are a massive array of fossils that have been found around the world.
Mm.
And I think this is the fascination that children have, particularly with dinosaurs.
Yes,
we don't see dinosaurs in zoos today.
Mm.
But, of course, they're only a small part of a huge array of animals that existed in the past that don't exist today.
Mm.
When you think, of course, of maybe, you know, large animals like woolly mammoths and woolly rhinoceroses and this sort of thing. But when we look at all the other kingdoms as well, you know, insects and, you know, much smaller animals and insects and plants that exist in the past that don't exist today.
Mm.
And so essentially estimates have been made that something like 99 to 98%
wow.
of the fossils, of the species that we see in the fossils don't exist today. So we've got evidence of massive extinction. That has occurred, a massive loss.
That's huge.
I
mean, 98 to 9, that's almost, like we've only got 2% of the original diversity.
Yes, or less, maybe 1%. Yes.
That's huge.
It is huge, yes, when we think of the number. So this is amazing. So it's a twofold problem, actually. It's a twofold problem because in the past there was massively much larger genetic information available, so we have a much larger amount of genetic information has to somehow arise by random mutations, not just the amount that we observe today, but, you know, 100 times that nearly, has to exist in the past. But also there's evidence of massive extinction events. So in one of the periods somewhere between about conventionally dated as 200 to 250 million years ago, they say essentially 95% of the marine life in the world was made extinct.
Wow.
There was a massive extinction event in that period. And then the second largest extinction event was believed to be in the Cretaceous, about 65 million years ago, and that's when the dinosaurs and a whole lot of those animals that we have portrayed in the movies became extinct. So I have a massive amount of particularly the land-dwelling animals becoming extinct at that time, like all the dinosaurs and so forth. Now, there are about another three extinction events. Now, the thing is that these extinction events are global. They occurred all over the world because we find these fossils all over the world, and they were water extinction events.
All of them?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
So there's about five. They're the two major ones, and there's two or three other ones that are listed occurring where smaller numbers of species were destroyed, again, by mass global extinction events.
Mm.
Now, this is exactly what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that there was a global flood and that all these extinction events occurred at the one time.
Mm.
Now, one of the things is to say, well, hang on, they're separated by all these layers. And this is the argument when they get into radiometric dating of putting all these layers in that separate them, such as in the Grand Canyon, you've got these massive layers there that span about, I forget exactly, but something like 250 million years of layers are spanned in parts of the Grand Canyon there. And a lot of these layers are laying conformably on top of the other. In other words, there's no signs of erosion in between. Now, the problem is, there's a couple of fold problem is that if these layers are laid down millimetres per year, how are they going to bury these big animals? How are you going to bury a dinosaur? You know,
it'll decompose
it's got to be a catastrophic event.
Yeah.
And so if you have a catastrophic event, putting down enough sediment to be able to bury a dinosaur and some of these other large animals and then you do your calculations based on a millimetre or two of sediment, you're going to be way out.
Mm.
And so these calculations of long ages that essentially set the original dates for the fossil column have got to be way out.
Hmm.
They've got to be way too long for reality. It must have been a much shorter time because, secondly, you know, carcasses, animals break down very quickly or get eaten by other animals, these sort of things. And so even small animals still require, you know, amounts of material to be fossilised. And, for example, a few years ago we had massive floods. It was probably more than 10 years ago now in Queensland where a massive portion of Queensland was covered, size of the state of New South Wales, but it didn't result in fossilised kangaroos and lizards and so forth. Nothing happened. And again, we don't find, when we walk on the beach, our footprints don't become fossilised.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's got to be something, it's got to be buried. Those footprints have to be buried very rapidly and then set to preserve them in something that's very solid. So we walk in the sand, more sand washes over the top, but it doesn't, when that sand washes away, it doesn't expose footprints because it hasn't been solidified.
Hasn't set, yes.
So we've got to have a catastrophic condition that involves, setting those footprints up so they become like concrete.
Mm.
Now, another fascinating thing that I guess few people are aware of, and I talk about this in my book in Chapter 5 there, that if we take the Morrison Formation in America, which is a huge formation that spreads from New Mexico up to Canada, covers a vast area of the United States, full of sedimentary rock, huge areas, you know, millions of square kilometres are covered in this particular area, that had to be spread by some massive catastrophic event. Now, it buried the dinosaurs.
Mm.
But what people don't realise is that, and I just read from the evidence there, from scientific reports there, that furthermore, buried with the dinosaur remains are fossils of fish, frogs, salamanders, lizards, crocodiles, turtles, crayfish and clams, as well as predators or pterodactyls. They're all mixed up with the dinosaurs. So we've got, terrestrial animals and marine animals mixed up in this massive sediment.
Now, that's the same layers.
That's right, in the same layer, buried together with the dinosaurs. Mm. Right?
How would that happen?
So, fish, turtles.
Yeah.
So what we have here is a picture exactly what we would expect from Noah's flood and the catastrophic conditions there.
Mm.
Now, this isn't, this sort of scenario is painted around the world. Often when we hear pictures about, you know, particular areas, we don't realise that the fossils are often so mixed up.
Hmm.
Another stunning discovery was made, I think, in China, near Mongolia, somewhere, of thousands of dinosaur footprints all going the same way.
Wow.
Right, that were all preserved of all different types of dinosaurs, as if they were fleeing some catastrophic event that happened that obviously preserved their footprints as well.
Wow.
In the end. So there are lots of examples, and I talk about these in the book, of course, and spell them out. So we have this massive evidence of, you know, rapid burial of very large animals that only can occur under catastrophic conditions.
Mm.
And yet we worked out, Lyle worked out the timeline largely for our geologic column based on the deposition on the basis of the uniformitarian principle, which still underpins the evolutionary model today. Because if we shorten it, right, under catastrophic conditions, then not enough time for supposed evolution to occur, although there are other reasons why it can't occur, but they have to cling to that model. And yet the evidence is in their face. There was a cover story on the journal Geology published some years ago of whale remains that were found on the top of mountains in a desert in Peru. Yeah, this desert area
whale
on the top
remains.
Of mountains. Yes, and it wasn't one or two. I mean, there were about 100. But
I saw an article the other week about beached whales, but this is on mountains. Like,
yeah,
this
in Peru,
is something
up on the top of the Peru, and
quite a step further.
Yeah, it's amazing, and the photographs are there. And one of the things was that the whales were very well preserved. In other words, often the part of the front of the whale that separates out soon after the whale breaks down, they were all joined and complete. But there are also fossils of the remains of sharks and other marine animals found up there
in
again
mountains.
As well. So what we can see is a number of things have happened. Those whales were obviously buried catastrophically to be able to preserve them so they weren't eaten by other things and they're preserved whole. But yet that whole strata was also moved up. There was a catastrophic event that occurred. And, of course, we observe this around the world as well. We see, you know, I've seen these myself when the travels, particularly up in the Kimberleys of northwestern Australia, you find these strata that are just curved and bent, you know, and you think, how can these rock layers be bent in an S shape sort of thing? This is a clear example that these multiple layers were laid down while they were still soft. And then there were massive earth movements, a part of the catastrophic event that was occurring, and then they were set.
Yeah.
And the same, these mountains were moved up there. So we've got this massive evidence from a number of different areas that that the uniformitarian model just doesn't fit, and this shortens the ages tremendously. Mm.
Yeah, and of course all the fossils are found in sedimentary rock. So that means, well, most of them anyway, it means, of course, with the water layer, like it's water that lays that down, isn't it?
Yes, most of the fossils have formed this way. Some are buried by, you know, volcanic ash, and some, of course, we find in tar pits and these sort of things. Another fascinating thing is, though, that when we look at these fossils, particularly very low down in the so-called column, some of those fossils or creatures are the same today. They haven't changed.
Uh-huh.
And animals that we find buried with mammals and so forth that we find buried with the dinosaurs, animals today that are exactly the same. They haven't evolved. So where animals have continued on, they haven't evolved over that time. They haven't changed. So we have powerful evidence that over hundreds of millions of years, tens of millions of years, that species don't change. They stay the same. They go on. And again, so we have evidence that evolution hasn't occurred from that point of view. We don't see these slight changes occurring and these creatures evolving over time. And it's quite fascinating too. Another thing, we often, you know, think of mammals coming later. I remember visiting Hawaii a few years ago, and there happened to be a display in the museum there, a fossil display. And one of the fossils on display was the fossil of a large mammal that had just eaten a baby dinosaur. And the remains of the baby dinosaur were still in the stomach of the mammal.
Wow.
Yes. So, again, we have this picture, the massive catastrophic event, again, and that was buried, you know, very quickly.
Yeah.
So it fits, again, the flood model. And once you have this catastrophic event, you can't calculate your ages assuming the uniformitarianism. And that drastically shortens our ages down and fits the biblical model.
Oh, very fascinating, compelling thoughts about the evidence there. So thank you for sharing with us. We have more to discuss on this topic. Next time we'll continue to examine the question, are fossils evidence for evolution? Be sure to join us.